many of you know that you are a spirit? How many of you are starting to get the understanding of what that really means? There's several ways you can know when you are thinking flesh versus thinking spirit. And the way you learn is by staying conscious every second. How many of you have seen rings in a tree that's been cut down? Okay, you set that tree up and you look through it and you can see the rings and spirals. People like to think in a circle, not a spiral, because it's easy to predict your tomorrow if you're doing the same thing every day. So you're thinking in this circle, in a layer. In the spiritual dimension, things either spiral up or spiral down. But if you're thinking in a circle in the same layer, then you're never going to experience a different thought. Because we like to be comfortable. And it's not comfortable if you don't know what's going to happen. But in order to transition to the spiral, you have to enter the void. But it's not the void, because that is where the Holy Spirit dwells. Do you trust that? Most people don't, because they want to be in control. So the journey I want to start tonight is allowing you to get more acquainted with your spiritual identity. And as I said this morning, it's not an individual identity. You are part of that ocean of the infinitesimal opportunities of the spirit dimension. Because as human beings, how we think and how we feel is a resonant frequency in our life. And that resonant frequency is what begins the separation. Because somehow we've been told how special we are as individuals. Remember your mommy and daddy telling you how special you are? Here is how you think and feel. These are the waves that are produced in the spirit from thinking and feeling. These waves have a signature that define your state of being. Your thought is electrical in the waveform. And your heart is a magnetic charge in the waveform. So you're sending out into the spiritual dimension telling God, this is my state of being. Give me what I'm asking and thinking of. And God doesn't judge, regardless of what you hear. Love doesn't judge. He is love. And he is spirit.
So he says, okay, my child wants this. You can't see a tornado until you start to see the debris that forms that tornado. You are a tornado. And everything you're asking for is what forms your world. You're creating the world you live in just by your thoughts and your feeling. And the longer you stay separate from the whole, the more you will receive all of the things you're asking for. You are a creator. And what Christ did at resurrection gave you the freedom to create a perfect dimension to interact with the body. Not by emotions and not by thoughts, but by frequency. A deer doesn't have to ask a lion if he's going to eat him. He knows by the frequency this lion carries. But this is how you have been designed by the Father. So the reason I talk about consciousness is when you can pay attention to your thoughts and your feelings, you can also change your circle to a spiral. Anybody understand? In Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, say all things, were created through him and for him. Pay close attention to this. He is the image of the invisible God. What do you think that looks like? Well, obviously, the people on earth thought it looked like Jesus of Nazareth. You know, the stepchild of the carpenter. The one that they were really kind of suspicious if Joseph was the father. That guy, that was the image of God. And the reality of who the invisible image is resides on the inside of you because of what is said in Ephesians, the first chapter. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's nothing about separation in that verse. We were in him, meaning him is everything that is because of what was said in Colossians. We're in the one that all things come through him, for him, by him. All creation in him, where you are. And the power that was given to you at resurrection started in that place because Jesus destroyed the one whose authority was in the earth. The devil is not your problem. He's in hell. Your problem is what you believe. Your problem is what you believe. Because what you believe is the world you create. Oh, but brother, there's evil in the world. I think there's a scripture for that. It says the root of all evil is what? The love of money. All evil. So where does evil come from? Simple. Where is the affection of people in the world system? The reality of who you are depends on your position in him. If it is a circular identity with Jesus of Nazareth, that's all you have. Where did the Antichrist spirit begin? That's right, in the garden. The whole world system transpired in the Antichrist spirit that was given by Adam to the devil. All of the things that you've been reading in Scripture, all of the things that you've been told, depend on your understanding of Christ. Because without a resurrected mentality, you're going to believe that you're flesh and blood. You're going to be afraid of death. You're going to live fearful. You're going to look to get money. And what Jesus did required so much understanding within our mentality. Jesus explained it. He says, you have to repent, which doesn't mean feel sorry for the bad thing you just did. You have to change the way you think. If you don't change the way you think, 100 resurrections are not going to help you. He can't do anything else. He'll never change your free will. You can have exactly what you want. And looking at most people's lives, that's what they're living. I'm not saying they like it once they get it, but you know, before we left being in him, and I'm talking about observation, the Holy Spirit showed me people leaving being in Christ because they wanted to have a physical experience. And the minute they left being in him, they became flesh and blood in their mentality so they could experience. Even though the scripture says everything that is material came through him, which you were in before you left. You already experienced it. But you don't remember. It's got to be something better than this. Guess what? It's not. When we were in him, we saw Jesus of Nazareth being crucified. We saw everything completed in him. And yet that wasn't good enough for many, many, many people. But God's not mad at people that chose to be flesh and blood. He's just waiting for you to wake up. I wrote a book this past year. It's called The New Testament Is You. What I would like for people to do is really study what's being said there, because you can't read it in a linear fashion. One of the greatest levels of your maturity as a believer is understanding the multi-dimensions that you live in as a spirit. This is how you appear in the spiritual dimension. So when you are in this dimension and in this shape,
all of your ability to understand multi-dimensions simultaneously is intact. You're more spirit than you are particle. This is what happens to most people who are stressed, frightened, and worried all the time. Your body has so much energy as a spirit that it functions and keeps your whole physical body intact. The organs, lung, all the organs. But when crises come, money problems, health problems, your spirit shrinks and becomes, has less effect on keeping your other organs alive. And when you get to this position, more particle than spirit, you actually spend more time focused on it instead of the spirit. Your spirit, which is part of the whole spirit of God, moves out of this dimension 7 times a second. It goes in and out of this linear dimension. And the longer you stay connected to the now, to the present moment, the more you bring back from that spiritual dimension. Now, what does that mean for you? It means that everything that you don't think you have, you already have. Everything you think you need to be taught, you already know. The only one that wants to stay in the dark are the ones that are afraid of the light. That's what Jesus experienced when he came to the earth, right? He said they love darkness more than they like the light. You see, that Adamic mentality that we're all born into is a consciousness that is rewarded as a child. Because the good and evil that man ate from created the division in the first place. Everyone is looking for a cause for why there's a condition. What is the cause that produces this effect? You see, that duality mentality shows you that your mind is in flesh. We're taught from a very early age that self-survival is the most important part of your life. So Jesus walks on the scene and says, you must die in order to live. He says, those who believe me will never taste death, which is the foundation of this world system. Look, until you are fearless, you'll never understand limitlessness. And it's available. There is no restriction on those who have no fear. That's why I know that you know what I'm talking about, even though it doesn't sound the same. One of the biggest problems that happen in people who get tangled up in churches is because of the influence of the law, they judge people that don't think like them. And all judgment creates division. Jesus found a woman in adultery and says, I don't judge you. So judgment is something that will immediately alert you to where you are physically. All of us have such opportunity, particularly now, to go into dimensions no one's ever been in before. Because you don't have to leave anywhere. You go in here. Now you hear everyone talking about AI, the next salvation for mankind. It's going to save the human race. There seems to be one problem. They don't have enough energy to cool it. Inside our bodies is 70 trillion cells. Every cell has a voltage of 0.07. You do the math. That's how much voltage is inside the human being. It would take 10 lightning bolts to cool AI computers. You have 50 lightning bolts inside your body. So you were created to solve problems for human beings across the planet in order to awaken them to who they were in Him before the foundation of the world. This magnificent machine that you were created with has more than enough energy to have that field that you saw in this person right here. So that means wherever you go, that spirit dimension touches anything around you. And you don't have to say a thing. In fact, it's probably better if you don't. It's a joke. But all I'm saying is we have such untapped energy inside of us that if we stop looking out here for experiences and start digging into the treasures that we have, you'll start spiraling to a place you've never been. So you have to stop seeing enemies. Unclench your fist. You don't have enemies. What you have is a reflection of who you are. Just saying. That neighbor you're mad at might be a reflection of who you are. Practicing being conscious gives you such power because you don't judge your condition, where you're at. All you do is observe. That observation expands your spiritual field. And it also allows the Holy Spirit to start to reprogram your conditioning. Our conditioning is so embedded in how we believe that unless you're observing it, it's just a knee-flex reaction. You think about this dimension that God created. You have to understand why he did what he did. Because for centuries after Adam fell, life was the way it was in this linear dimension. In fact, let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed," capital S, "and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In another translation, it says, "He will crush your head." Now, that is the first prophecy in this recorded Bible. Everything that happened from there up until Jesus going to the cross was the plan of God. So Jesus came to redeem mankind that was lost in the garden. And this is where Jesus goes through what he went through. This was also told in Psalm 69. He says, "It is finished." "It is finished" means is it is finished. So from Genesis all the way to that crucifixion completed the prophecy of God. Because in John 12, he said before he went to the cross, John 12, verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Say bye-bye to the serpent. So the serpent is gone, but not the thousands and thousands of generations who had the mentality of Adam. That's why the thoughts and the feelings come from that whole warped conditioning of all those centuries of believing the devil is wrecking your life. Because he didn't create you to be a victim. If you've got no control over what happens to you, that makes you a victim, and that makes God a liar. So it was all completed, and the next phase is where the power comes in the resurrection. That's what destroyed death and the fear of death, because that is what holds up the foundation of this world system. And the writer in Hebrews says that. "Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Victim. So if you want to be a victim, it's because you love drama. It's true. People are addicted to feeling something. And if you're calling for it, you're going to get it. So the mindset of Christ is what has to take place in every person who calls himself a believer. But it can't happen at an individual level. It has to happen corporately. And it happens corporately when you have the recognition that you never left being in him before the foundation of the world. So your homework tonight is understand who that image is so that you can re-enter that image. The image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. You see, imagination in the mentality of Adam is what got the first earth destroyed. But God's not going to let that happen again. But in your life, you can destroy your life with your thoughts and your feelings. This linear dimension that we live in, this three dimensions, was formed through atoms. And these atoms vibrate at frequency equal to the action being placed on them. For example, if someone has lost a leg and God wants to regrow that leg. All he needs is to shape the frequency of that growth into the atomic structure of that leg, and the new leg, the new limb grows. This three dimensions is basically a video game. It's created through all these electrons inside an instrument that gives you this 3D space. It's an illusion, but we believe it's real because we think we're flesh and blood. Every time you use the physical to validate your reality, you don't understand your spiritual nature. You say, oh, look, there's a guy hanging from the bridge. The devil must be loose. We see circumstances from this dimension and mentality and assume that's reality. Because for some reason, we think that if we don't believe it, it's going to get worse. It can't get any worse. You're already in a position mentally that you've already believed for the worst. If you woke up every morning and understood that you are a creator of your world, what would you do? What would you do? In order to answer that question, you can't live in this dimension. Because the only one that knows the best thing for you is the Spirit of God, which is not in this linear dimension. Listen, God's word holds the reality of all things, right? In other words, Jesus as the word, everything consists because of him, everything. He said when he walked this planet that my words are spirit and they are life. But he wasn't talking about just a physical word. He was talking about a frequency that could change all atoms into whatever it is he wanted. You have the same power. But those words can't come from this dimension. And they can't be mixed with emotions and thoughts from this dimension. There's a scripture where Jesus says, I hear my Father saying this. When you're in that dimension, you can receive everything Jesus of Nazareth received while he was in a physical body. Every atom that exists on this dimension, in this dimension, every atom, every human being has passed through that has ever lived here. That includes Jesus of Nazareth. So when I talk about quantum, I'm talking about the ability to understand there's no cause and effect in the dimension outside of this. When you know that, you leave this dimension and you become the cause. You want to change this dimension? You can't do it from here. You can only do it when your frequency is intertwined with the word. The frequency of the word that is outside this dimension unlocks your doubts, unbeliefs, and fears. It's getting heavy in here, so I think we're going to quantum worship.